Hello, good people. This is Jamil Graham and the Alchemy of Light broadcast. Welcome. I am broadcasting to you from PBSRadio.com on a lovely Saturday afternoon. And the Alchemy of Light broadcast is dedicated to the exploration and cultivation, the knowledge, the awareness of consciousness, how we feel and think about things, because everything begins with a feeling. And today I am very grateful to be welcoming an honorable human being, one who could be an example for us all. And his name is Danyon Brinkley. For people who know or have even heard of a near-death experience, that's likely not the first time you've heard that name. He has been struck by lightning twice, had three near-death experiences, and has done really important work with himself and manifesting the lessons that he's learned from the near-death experiences. He has a website, danyon.com, where you can find out about his near-death experiences. Also, you could visit alchemyoflight.org and get some basic information. Well, I want to really sort of fast forward the conversation today, because much has been said about Danyon. His story is all over the internet. And today is a special focus of his organization that he co-founded in 1997 called the Twilight Brigade, Compassion in Action. And this organization is dedicated to the fact that no veteran need die alone. And Danyon himself is an ex-Marine. He can... I want to welcome him and let him tell us about this and how this came to be and how our spirit moves us in this conversation. Welcome, Danyon.
All right, thank you, Jamal. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me on BBS Network and the Alchemy of Light.
And light it is it not?
Well, I believe that it is. I mean, we live in very wondrous, strange, and new evolving times. I mean, we're in a shift in consciousness that is happening, and we have to put forth certain ideals and certain thought patterns that help us move into this grand new age. The Mayas say it's December the 21st. There are probably 25 other cultures and historical cultures that have deemed this particular period in time what is called the galactic center, or the dawn of a new age. And we are living in the dawn of a new age. And as that new age is dawning, people have to really think about what matters to them and shift away from the old paradigms into the new paradigms. And so today what I'd like to talk about, as much as anything, is the Twilight Brigade, which is just the Twilight Brigade on the internet. And I think the driving mission is that as we move into this new paradigm shift, we must think war unthinkable. It must become the conscious approach that we view resolution. As we all know, as we today look at war, it's only business. It's not about really changing or transforming anything. It's about the perpetuation of what Dwight Eisenhower, commanding general during World War II, and a president of the United States, said the military-industrial complex. We are perpetuating this consciousness. The whole idea of terrorism as a concept causes us to begin to be afraid and to take on a protective cocooning psychology. And this whole type of psychology has been used by every dictatorship and every controlling organization since the beginning of time. And as we look at where America is, this is where we are. I believe that war should be unthinkable because I've been a hospice volunteer for 36 years. I've been with more than 2,000 people going from this world to the next, and I've been with 417 people as they took their last breath. What that says is I have a knowledge, a perspective about the value of life that only death can teach. And then you add the fact that I've been through one death experience and two near-death experiences, being struck by lightning, open-heart surgery, and brain surgery. then the concepts of the dawning of this age, I think that I can readily speak about and speak to. So as you look at the alchemy of light and what you're bringing about in just your radio show, it opens up the hearts of people to potential, to their belief in themselves as spiritual beings as much as they believe themselves as human beings. And if we can, as spiritual beings, think war is a proper modality to settle our issues, then we have failed. As human beings, we found it the most common and natural way, aggression. Spiritual beings, it's about compromise and compassion. And I learned at the bedside so often, in the end of the lives of veterans, they worry about whether or not they will be condemned for things that they've done in war. There's things that they did in war for us. So who is co-responsible for this fear? We are. And I'm trying desperately to change that mindset.
That consciousness, that is a very accessible place to begin a conversation of consciousness and war. I really appreciate the way you put it, war being in the human material-based reality paradigm that we are transcending from to the more multidimensional spirit.
Spiritually-based.
Yeah, soul-based, spiritually-based human that is in full acknowledgement of its divinity, of its divine essence occupying a material body and being granted this tremendous gift to create and explore and share our life. And will you please share with us, if you feel, how, whatever level you feel comfortable, we don't like to look at war. We like to think of war as we either are for it or we're against it, but we don't like to look at what the soldiers go through. We don't like to look at the remains of bodies and things that that the bombs have left behind. And we, not looking at war, are allowing things to get way out of hand. You know, now we're developing depleted uranium bombs that have been dropped and launched all over the Middle East. We are using drones now. It's obviously coming out of fashion for humans to kill humans. So this warlord energy that has seized so much of the resources and literally our minds, our consciousness, is now using drones to continue this destruction. And I really feel that we are co-creators, even if we say we're against, because there are a lot of ways that we support the war in our everyday action, and non-action, not being willing to look at it, is one of them. And whenever we choose not to look, we're choosing not to engage our consciousness, which is our spirit essence.
Which I agree to. But you see, Dijon, remember, this is where the shift comes. We are not against war. We are for peace. Where the concept in consciousness is when we're against something, we've already set up a shift in our own specific spiritual and mental consciousness that creates adversity. I am not against war. I'm just for peace. That's why I say we must think war unthinkable. And I appreciate your concept. We are now bombing. We are killing millions of people from the air. We are not participating in a ground war. We are flying drones from Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. And these drones are being flown by kids who grew up playing games, war games and video games, and they have no real consciousness that they are killing. You don't think they have a consciousness that they're killing human beings halfway around the world. But I talk to these guys. They call themselves murderers. They come home with post-traumatic stress disorder. They can't adjust back to this society. And we're having such, in the VAs and the Veterans Administration, there is such a crisis. Why? More important than any other reason, we are in this spiritual conscious shift into a new age. It has dawned itself. And as it does, and because that we have a global consciousness about ourselves and the world we live in because of the internet and because of high-speed communications. We cannot avoid the fact that we are responsible and that we are co-creating the world that we're seeing. We have to eliminate the concept of enemies. Not that there are not people who are against what we're doing, but we have to be for and find compassionate communication between us, or we will begin a path and an unfoldment of destruction. Right now in the Middle East, we are looking at the precipice of world war or world peace. And when you hit that point in consciousness, and that's where we are today. Last night on Fox News, they were talking about the Israelis planning to attack the Iranians. And when that happens, or if that happens, as the Palestinians are seeking recognition as a state, we sit at world war. And what I'm trying so desperately to do, being a veteran myself and being at the bedside of veterans and looking at this opportunity as a chance to change people's consciousness, that's why I'm so glad you had me on the radio show today. Because we all have to stop and we have to be for things, not against anything. Because when we become against something, we've changed our pattern. But when we're for something, the inertia moves it forward to achieve the goal.
I really appreciate that. That actually feels really right. And it also gives us, I can feel that in my body, the shift. Okay, I'm for peace. And then it allows war to be what it is and allows us to begin the exploration of what peace is and to untie the propaganda in our head about war is peace, because war isn't peace. War is war, and peace is peace.
Disengaging. You see, once we start to disengage spiritually from the concept, mentally from the concept, we begin to engage spiritually into the domain, the dimensions, and the reality. And what I have to say is this, Dee. I came this way because I have seen the heavens. I have seen the multidimensional conceptual nature of us as spiritual beings. And once that ever happens, mine came from being struck by lightning and open heart surgery and brain surgery, but once that happens, you can never go back. You have no way back. Like people say, a lot of people have to believe things in faith. Well, the fact that there is a life after death, I don't have to have faith in that. I know that there is. And the fact that there is a divine force that connects us all energetically, it is now not just some type of cosmic consciousness or some kind of mythological concept that people put forth. It is being scientifically proven. They call it dark matter at the present. We're hunting what's called the God gene or the God element, the thing that connects all of us together. The Swiss and the Europeans have built the CERN in Switzerland and created the kaleidoscope looking for the bog particle, this God particle, this God connective force. They even call it an exonanosphere. So science is catching up with spirituality, and we're meeting that place in our own consciousness where science and spirituality is about to meet. And in that mergence, if we don't have a mindset that opens ourselves to spirituality and closes our mindset to enemies, we will end up being enemies of our own self. And I am so desperately trying to change that mindset in people because they'll never get a chance to move dimensionally, multidimensionally, and ethereally into the higher levels of consciousness that the dawning of a new age allows us to be able to do. And we'll either be stuck down here in this asinine foolishness of war and enemies, and these are religious wars. We have now reduced ourselves to what began this whole deal, is we are in religious wars. We call it democracy against Islam, okay? That's a religious war. And once you begin to focus your mindset in what you believe is right religiously, which relates to spiritually, as opposed to what you believe is right materially or mentally, you have completely shifted the paradigm. We, as fools and junkies to oil and the fossil fuel and the building of an industrialized nation so possessions become a power, we have allowed ourselves to be brought into a religious war. There has never been a successful one that ever brought peace. All it brings is the festering, waiting for the next war. And what we're doing, we're in the 10th year. This is the longest war this country has ever fought. We think it's over buildings being destroyed at 9/11. What it's over is people's religious viewpoints, quote-unquote spiritual viewpoint. And the day that you can accept that your spiritual viewpoint, that you're willing to kill men, women, and children with bombs from drones and airplanes being guided by children 10,000 miles away, you have gone crazy. Your human, your mental self has completely overpowered your spiritual self. And that perpetuation and perpetuation of that mentality in the dawn of an age will lead to destruction. And so what we do together today, and what we do is just to hope it opens people's hearts and their minds to the thought that we can make a difference. So when I created the Twilight Brigade, it came from the near-death experience. It came from a place where, as you move from this world, this level of consciousness, mental, physical level of consciousness, into the ethereal, spiritual level of consciousness, there is a space in between. I always called it the fertile void. Well, I think my wife Catherine gave it that name. But I called it the blue-gray place. And in calling it that name, there is a place where you have a choice to look at that world and the next world. And what happens is you realize we are trapping ourselves in this mire of consciousness. And instead of it being a weight, a lifting of a weight and a burden upon us, it is creating a burden and a weight on us in that dimension and in this dimension. And we still have the opportunity to escape and to fulfill our destiny and vision here. And if we don't change now, we will have trapped ourselves in not just one dimension, this mental physical, but in an ethereal dimension that is very closely vibratorily related to the one we're in now. So I want people to stop and think about what we're saying, and just like what you're putting out, a way that light opens. We must be for things and not against anything. I am for something which negates the psychology of developing a negative approach toward it. It empowers a positive, loving approach. If you can be for peace and not against war, look at where we are. And that vibratory relationship moves out across the universe. Science has proven we're all connected. And we're connected in a way that even our, even the genetic makeup in every cell and every atom is connected. So every thought, like you earlier said, every thought, every action, and every movement that we take affects everything else in the universe. That's not just mythology anymore. It's not just cosmo babble anymore. It's proven theoretical quantum and particle physics. I mean, when you start to think from that moment, then you change. And you cannot change in it thinking of war. You can only think of it in dealing with peace.
Absolutely. And to work with that transition from our material human to our ethereal human, I'll share an experience that I recently had, being one that I, until I had a profound awakening myself in the last few years, and what I call my death-like experience, being with people who were transitioning, which is another place that I really resonate with your work. There's an honesty that comes in the room being with people who are preparing to transition from their bodies. And that's a whole long conversation, but in this experience that I had, two very intimate experiences, I was likewise brought to a place that changed me forever. And I have since then had the opportunity to heal my negative programming, to give it a word, what you're suggesting, the transition from being against war to being pro-peace, which started with peace inside of myself. And ironically or not, my mother, Juliet Nightingale, she transitioned from a place in Virginia, Phoebus, Virginia, which is basically a huge part of the military-industrial complex. It was the first time in my life that I really looked at people in the military and saw their humanness. You know, I have known people in the military, and I'll just be taking full responsibility right here. You know, I always had a reservation. Oh, my God, those people go kill people. I had a negative chip, and they, you know, made me uncomfortable. You know, I'm just being honest, that I would be sitting in a room with somebody who had a gun that would kill somebody. And, you know, I could never do that. I could never fathom that. I've had people actually even try to give me guns. I have no interest. You know, I don't care about that. You know, I'm never going to get a gun. Never going to understand that. But in that process of being with my mother, realized that the people in the military were humans just like me. They loved their kids just like me. They loved their families. They loved the earth. They care about what they're doing, and they care about the country. I learned about the service aspect of what drives people, and also the generational aspect of what keeps people in the military generation after generation after generation. Now, they're not all motivated by service. And, you know, to have a full conversation, we would go into the poverty aspect and how the government ropes people in who have nothing else, and all that propaganda. I would like to skip that.
And control and ego. I mean, those are all things that you're very accurate about. I mean, I am the person that you're describing. Okay, I am that person. I was a former United States Marine, okay, and I am that person. But we are human beings, but we're on a spiritual path, and we can change. And so I really applaud your perspective, because there are people that on this earth now are so caught up in this control. Look at what's happening in Darfur. Look at the kind of rape, murder, and child abuse and child mutilation that we're watching in African countries. Now, whether I would take a gun up there to defend what I see, that would be a question I would have to cross if I was there. But the fact that this is occurring and the mindset that's allowing it to happen, we will not stop it by war. We will stop it by inspiring peace and cooperative communication between people. And we've come so far away from that as a thought pattern that we think it's impossible. But if we are divinely spiritual beings, anything is possible. And once we begin to think in those possibilities, the automatic change and the evolution in our consciousness begins to take place. I hate to say that it took me having to be killed before I understood it myself. But nonetheless, this is happening to all of us. We shall see it today, or we shall trap ourselves. And my mission and what I'm really trying to do, if I can get everybody in the world to do hospice work, the world will change. Because what happens when you're at the bedside is first you lose the fear of death. And second, you empower the preciousness and the sacred joy of being able to live this life. This is a rare gift. To be a spiritual being, to come into human form, to appear to be separate from all things, is a phenomenal perspective, because we are not. But because once you see that you're separate from things, then you can make a difference in what's going on around you. as opposed to in the ethereal and spiritual realms, you're connected and your every actions begin to communicate and unify whatever is going on around you. So much about this life is being a co-creator, not a prisoner, not trapped, not controlled or dominated, but a participant in being able to co-create. Excuse me. So I have all the faith and hope in the spiritual side of humanity. Mm. And I am never going to give up hope like I once did, which was brought me to the war consciousness. I'm never going to give up my belief and hope in the greatness of the human spiritual identity manifested here on Earth.
I really support what you're doing. And let's talk about being a hospice volunteer and how the Twilight Brigade works this. I'm very interested in your training programs and how you set up those training programs and how you see the vision growing and service with the veteran or in general service as a human being. We have a lot of people checking off the planet right now, and hospice opportunities are everywhere, and I couldn't agree more that to take that opportunity to be with a person in transition would definitely have what everybody could benefit from in discovering their true divinity and witnessing the divine being in that exact moment. So please, will you tell us about the Twilight Brigade, about the what is a hospice volunteer? I mean, okay, if we're going to get over death, how are we going to do it? What are some of the things that you encourage us to practice? How do you train? What does that mean?
First thing, think of this question. What is the number one cause of death in the world?
Broken hearts.
Birth?
Really?
The number one cause of death is birth. If you are ever born into this world, you will leave it. So when you look at the number one cause...
Sorry, that's great. No, serious.
You see, most people, it always amazes me. I say, what do you think the number one cause of death is? And they say heart disease and broken hearts and all of that. The number one cause of death is birth. If you ever took a breath and you came on this earth, you will let that breath out and you will leave this earth. So sooner or later, everyone will become a hospice volunteer. Jeez. Either for someone you love or someone who loves you, a family member, a brother, a sister, a friend, or for yourself. And the sooner you know about the process, the better you are able to live your life. So I came together with a group of brilliant people, and I began to create a program called the Twilight Brigade. And I picked veterans because veterans, like you just said, they are human beings who honestly, sincerely believe that they're in service to their country. They believe that, and there are a lot of subtext and sub-psychological preferences that drive that. Just like you said, the poverty consciousness and how governments manipulate people and all of that. But there's also the sense of the spiritual need to serve. We all need to find a cause and a service. And if it's not exactly hospice for everybody like it is for me, everybody needs to find a cause. To find something you can serve that makes the world a better place. TheTwilightBrigade.com or TheTwilightBrigade.org links you to it's a weekend program. It's a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a 20-hour program that meets and exceeds all the standards of the National Palliative and Hospice Foundation criteria to teach you how to be present. Most about hospice work and caregiving is about learning how to be present and learning how to listen. And to listen to so that a person sees and knows that their life has value. And what this training does is it mostly teaches you about yourself. It teaches you about who you are and how to be present in service to other people. And this 20-hour program is probably the best program ever developed. I have been at this over 35 years, and I've studied every format, every formula, every program, and this one is the very best one I've ever seen. I chose the VA because we all owe the veteran a certain gratitude, because these people risk life and limb. Everybody gave some, but some gave all. And when you've done that, then there is a responsibility to these people greater than any other responsibility that I could conceive of, because we still live in a somewhat free country. So I picked veterans because no one would have an excuse not to go and honor their own identity and freedom that was empowered, preserved, and protected in the past age, the one that's passing, not the one we're going into, than the veteran. So the Twilight Brigade became a 20-hour program. We're all over the nation. We keep growing because, like you said, many people and many animals will choose to leave the planet for a lot of reasons. Some, because their job is done. For others, the age of their existence has passed. Some will not be able to adjust. Okay, so there are a lot of reasons. But between Thanksgiving in the United States and New Year's, more people will leave this world than any other time during the year. So this is the most appropriate time. And in the Twilight Brigade, in this campaign that we're running, the 11-11-11 campaign, which anyone can see on the Twilight Brigade, I ask people to do three things. Number one, I ask them to volunteer. Go get involved in something that you care about. Go get involved, okay? Number two, donate. Help me. You can donate in a multitude of ways. And number three, give us your prayers. We who live in a spiritual consciousness know the powers of what is called the non-dimensional reality. Prayer, the non-local perspective that permeates and radiates throughout all existing things. You know, it's so hard for people to realize that science has proven there is no such thing as solid matter in existence. Stop for a moment and think. It is a scientific proven fact that there is no such thing as solid matter. Now, you usually don't think that when you bump your toe on the edge of the couch. Or you usually don't think that when you drop a brick on your foot. You think that it's hard to think it. But nonetheless, science can prove and replicate it. There is no such thing as solid matter. And once you start thinking that that is a proven scientific fact, you either shift into consciousness of a spiritual identity or you don't. If you shift into a spiritual identity of consciousness, you begin to change your harmonic vibration, and you begin to refine it, and you begin to move into higher levels and broader levels of consciousness. If you don't realize it, you stay in the same level, or your frequency slows down as the shift comes. For me, it's amazing to watch people have it proven to them and still not ever put it into play in their life. So by using the Twilight Brigade as an example, what you think is the end of something, which is what we call death, is truly only the beginning of something else. And that's the thing you learn the most at being a Twilight Brigadier, a Twilight Brigader, is you learn that there is not a finite world that we live in, but an infinite possibility of the world that we live in. And when you choose to empower yourself from that point of view, you have begun to change everything else there is around you. And that's what we are dedicated to. We are for spiritual expansion. There is no solid matter anywhere in the universe. There are galaxies and planets, but all they are is concentrations of energy. They are not solid. Look at an atom. an atom is the basic structure of physical science. But if you look at an atom under an electron microscope, what you discover is it is 94.6% empty space. It is filled with that matter that we now in science call dark matter, and it is proven that it's all connected, and that even the universe is suspended in this so-called dark matter. And then we begin to have a term or a name for the divine. I don't think dark will hold up, but they say it's dark because there's a vacuum. Mm. But when you look at it, you begin to see that reality. And have you ever thought about this? How come when we look out in space, and we see the space shuttles going around, and we see guys in space spacewalking, fixing the space station. Wonder why it's dark out there. Why is it dark once you leave the atmosphere or the ionosphere or the stratosphere of the Earth? Why is it dark? Why is it light outside today? And when you see space stations and you see people looking out of the ports at the space station, it's just dark out there. I mean, when you stop to try to think about that, look at what you're seeing. How does light work here on the Earth and the whole universe is not lit? And that's why they gave it the term dark matter. Aren't I fun?
You're awesome. You're awesome, Danian. I really appreciate the way you put these things together. And dark matter is also related to a consciousness that we are leaving, because another thing in integrating our spiritual consciousness is that we realize the limitations. We sort of simultaneously realize the limitations of words, for one thing, and for the need for words. In the spiritual consciousness, telepathy, the word that I know is telepathy, that communication is energetic. The energetic, I call it an energetic download. The information, huge amounts of information, by far more than these words say of themselves. You know, we're talking, but the vibration that we're sharing is also a communication. The communication of our vibrations and the energy of our words meeting is also sending a vibration. These are all subtle level communications that are very easily accessible with our spirit consciousness right now. It's all going on right now. So I think part of what might help us all understand that is to realize that we don't really have to go out and build anything. We have to really just stop and listen and study and learn about ourselves, because this is already going on. We don't have to go make that happen. We just have to learn about it happening, which is the gift of our spirit consciousness. It allows us a different perspective that encompasses all of that. And words are so barbaric. They just don't cut it, you know? They don't cut it for most things. I mean, how often have you had an argument with somebody, and after you all calm down, you go, oh, well, we were saying the same thing. You know, I mean,
Look at the Bible. In the Bible, it says, in the beginning, there was the Word. And then there was light, and the word was light. And it's the same way with listening. You know, just I'm 100% in agreement with what you just said. We are resonating in field of energy. Whether people realize it, in any major city, you have between 80,000 and a million cell phone conversations passing through you in any given day. The average city, there are 88,000 phone calls passing through you every day. Are you picking up those cell phone communications? Absolutely. Can it be affecting how you see and interpret and believe? Absolutely. Do you think that 24/7 news cycles of cable, internet, television, radio, frequencies, HARP, you know, all these things are being affected? Absolutely. And people don't realize, did you realize this? But we have weaponized weather.
Mm.
We have now, I went and heard this whole big story about HARP, this array of electromagnetic field pulse energies in Alaska and all over the world, and all these things that these people were talking about.
Mm.
And in 1964, a set of patents were issued under the Johnson administration, developed by the federal government, to weaponize war, to be able to use frequencies to change cloud formations, the movement of cycles, to affect the Schumann resonance of the earth, to change currents and to change vibratory harmonics, to create earthquakes, to create tornadoes and hurricanes. And when I first heard this, I thought it was nonsense. But I found the patents. It is the patent application of energetic formation and focal point at certain frequencies that change the magnetic flow and fields of energy in the tidal winds and the tidal waves that affect and sit in our atmosphere and our stratosphere and in our ionosphere. And when you can patent it and be given a patent, it's really hard to deny it. And when you look at the nature of what we now call climate change, sometimes I wonder if that's not being controlled or manipulated, or some if it's just a natural cycle that the Earth goes through, because we've basically had these shifts and have been proven geologically by core samplings that these warming and cold periods occur. Because you remember they used to call it global warming.
Right.
But anytime you hear the term global warming, you are talking about a precursor to an ice age. So now they've changed it from global warming to climate change.
Yeah, and they've
also... pretty remarkable.
It's fascinating, and, you know, in the conversation... It is, because we get to untangle this now. You know, the conversation of humanity on this planet is fantastic. I mean, there's lots of great people who are doing a lot of great work, and we're at this place to now see that the human and how what I call the slave experiment of the human is coming to its close, and now we get to learn from that. We get to go, wow, look at how the human became a slave. Look at how it didn't become a slave. We're really divine beings, and we're not slaves at all. And the whole purpose, I see it, is that we get this opportunity to untangle those webs and give that back to the universe in our total gratitude and ecstasy for the opportunity, because it's fun to put a puzzle together. It's fun to feel that mark of accomplishment when you've actually sorted things, see how they go, and then you get excited and you move on to the next thing. I mean, that's the energy of creation, is it not? You know? So we get to untangle that now and go, yeah, we are living in a very manipulated, incredibly controlled world. And we don't have to be controlled by that anymore.
And not only that, we won't be. I mean,
right.
Just look at this. Look at this radio show. Look at what this network is doing. Look at the opportunities that it gives us spiritually to connect on a vibratory, verbal form. We're taking that form that has always been to control, manipulate, and to complement, and we're opening up to expressions of love, compassion, and kindness, and opening up to the opportunities for people to connect and identify. What's so joyous is because of the Mayans, we have this 2012 story we keep hearing, okay? But because looking at the Mayans were brilliant astrophysicists. They invented the zero. And without the zero, where would Microsoft be? Because computer language, other than Java, is the zeros and ones. So when you start to look at this, this cycle lasts 25,920 years, roughly on the average. We are at the end of that cycle. We're not at the very, very end. But we're close enough to the end to see the new cycle being born. And so not only can we, in the Earth world or in the galactic world that we live in this galaxy, we live on a little small planet, you know, of a billion planets and stars that we call the galaxy, the Milky Way, and that we can track our precession from the outer edge of the galaxy to the inner edge of the galaxy, which is called the galactic center. And we can prove to ourselves scientifically as well as spiritually that we are exactly what you and I have been describing and identifying in this program. And that's pretty exciting.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And then to be able to bring that to humanity for the ones that are ready, for the ones that are available to even begin the conversation. And we're all in this together, and humanity is one big family. And the closer we come to living that, the closer we come to accessing our true divine power and who we are, really, who we really are. And that, I really appreciated earlier when you said that, you know, if hospice doesn't float your boat, find something to give back. Because part of, it's very important that we find some way that we can give back, that we can find joy in sharing something we love, in creating something to help make the world a better place, because the world is what we make it. So if we're
because
only
Because it changes our vibratory relationship between ourselves and the universe that we live in. I mean, why I love hospice is I have absolutely no fear of death, none. It becomes just a trifling conversation for anyone to tell me that they think that I'm going to die. That's an idiot. I mean, excuse me, that's an uninformed, sweet, loving, beautiful person. But also they're acting idiotic. I do not even consciously involve myself in the concept about death, only about the perpetuation of life. And when hospice may not be for everybody, but something has to be for everybody to go give someplace where you know you're making a difference. The we in this Western consciousness have become so fear-based. And what we're afraid of because of our health care system, we're afraid of what we see as pain, the pain of slow death because of science and because of profit from pharmaceutical companies and because advances in medical paradigms of understanding the human body. And then second, because the unknown. We have been taught that we either love something or it will condemn us to eternal damnation. Well, you cannot scare me into loving anything. You can't do it. And I look at it from that point of view. And then I look to see how I can be of help. How can I make this a better event or a better place? Or how can I support people in helping their life become better? And I chose to be at the bedside because I think the great problem that this country has is its inability to create closure. You know, the doctor says, you have to leave the room now. And you think and you do what the doctor says instead of spending those cherished moments, you know, of celebrating a life well lived. You know, not death, but the celebration of a life. And I think it was Richard Bach in one of his books. I think it was Illusions, Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah, probably one of my favorite books.
It says,
you can never have a hello without having a goodbye. So if you're going to say goodbye, you will certainly know that you will see this person again. And I have learned that at the bedside more than just about anything. And to celebrate a life, and instead of the depression demure of a death, but the celebration of a life is a joy that brings me happiness, and to be supportive of a family in the course of that action becomes the reward that I think is the gift that I hope I am giving back, and why I like to talk about this in the Twilight Brigade and and where we are in consciousness now. And I want to sincerely thank you. And I want to thank this network and Doug, too, for letting me be on this show with you guys this Saturday afternoon.
Well, it's been such a great pleasure to have you. And I, excuse me, I really thank the BBS network as well, because they have intentionally set out to make this a program that is available to the voice of consciousness rising. And so this is no accident, as there are none anyway, but the good people at BBS Radio have pioneered this and made this moment possible through vision and dedication and patience and hair pulling and screaming and crying and joy and all of it that goes into a creation. So,
and they're doing it all from Paradise, California. Go, Doug.
Yes. How does get better than that?
Well, you know, it's a point of celebration. I can feel that we're making a difference. I can feel it just like you were saying earlier. And it lifts my heart. You know, we have to be for this instead of against anything. And I just am thankful to the network, and I'm sincerely thankful to you, because you stepped up to the plate to make a difference, to empower people, and to look at a consciousness that is really happening.
Mm.
And instead of locking ourselves in an old mindset, and the thing that really troubles me is this. There are powers who know what we know as well as we are better than us. And they've created this thing called the War on Terror so that you never define who your enemy is. You will never know. And now they're running commercials in hotels. In a hotel room the other day, I saw a commercial that was saying, if you see anything strange, report it. And this is the same things that the communists did, okay, to make you suspicious. Not that anybody's doing anything, and maybe somebody might not be in something exactly right, but it's literally to prepare your mind to be able to always be hypervigilant and to be afraid. And this thing called the War on Terror is a way to keep our consciousness suppressed and to keep us in fear instead of to empower us to move in those higher dimensions of consciousness. And I don't want people to buy into it. I don't want people to buy into it, because if we buy into that, we're giving away the power and the identity of ourselves as spiritual beings unfolding in the universe and being a part of that unfoldment. And instead, we're trying to block and stop and spy on, control and manipulate, endanger and create anarchy. Look at these people who took to the streets, all these people who lost their homes, and not one person was convicted of anything. Two people went to jail, and yet millions of people don't have a home. And people who made millions of dollars in bonuses walk away free. And people took to the streets, and they wait for anarchy. They create this anarchy, and who knows who created that, to turn something that was good into something that was bad. And I watched it evolve over the news cycle, and you see people during the days marching and standing up and making it be known, and then at night some group comes in and turns it into something that's damaging, and something that vilifies people in peaceful protest. I think that this will keep evolving. I don't think they'll be able to turn people away from people taking to the streets and people making their voices known, because with the federal government at a 16% approval rating and nobody honestly wanting to support the present government that as we see it, we're looking at revolution. And I want it to be a quiet, conscious, spiritual revolution, not destructive and damage and warring revolution. Because everything that you've said today and everything that we've talked about today is not only possible, it's the easier way. There's more to divinity and spirituality than there ever was to mental physical identity. And I think that that's what you're talking about, and I hope that that's what I'm talking about, and that's why I was so happy to be able to be a part of this unfoldment.
That is exactly what we're talking about, and I share your concern about that, and I've thought about that very much, actually, watching the fear go up. The fear is over the top, and I use the public transportation, and they have these big posters now all around. You know, if you see something suspicious, call this number, and they broadcast this in the train stations. You know, if you see something, say something. Fear, fear, fear. And I've thought about that, and you know what I've found, Danian? The quickest way to break the spell of fear is to simply look into somebody's eyes and say hello. It amazes me how fast that dissolves the illusion of separation. Simply to look in somebody's eyes and say hello. Say
how
good
are
morning.
You today?
Exactly.
Yeah, how are you today? Because you see, that's what they're trying to, that's the whole nature. If you get people to cocoon, or to be suspicious, they will create a consciousness that will keep us from changing our harmonic vibration toward the place it's supposed to be, as opposed to the place they want it to be. And so
we're not fighting.
We're just speaking out, putting it out for an opportunity for people to participate, and then hope for it out and deep in our hearts that they do.
Absolutely. Loving, you know, using love. That is our untapped wealth, the love in our hearts, you know, the ability to just reach out and share a smile, and it makes a difference. And that's how I see everything that you're saying.
Is this show archived? You guys archive these shows?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's archiving. Yeah, the archive will be available straight away. And bbsradio.com in the Alchemy of Light profile. As well, I will upload it on my website, alchemyoflight.org, in the next week or so. And so the archive will definitely be available. And I see we're at the top of the hour here. And of course, I'm going to bypass. That's been lovely, but I thank you so much for being with us, Danian. Would you like to offer us again any message, closing message, the websites and things like that?
Absolutely. Please, everybody, support this awakening. Support this program. Support the BBS network. I mean, support. Take part. Participate in loving, caring response. And remember, love is exactly what you just said, our greatest untapped resource. Say hello and ask people how they're doing. See how their day's going. Stop for a moment and listen and care. Thanks for having me on this show, and Doug and the BBS Network. Thank you, and to you, Dee, be blessed.
Thank you, Danian. Have a lovely everything until next time. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to the Alchemy of Life broadcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.